Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yes, yes. Welcome into the Tim McKernan Show podcast from the Longo Big Studios. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. Sitting across from me is Jackson Burkett, and we welcome you in to questions from the audience for Friday, January 26th, 2024. Jackson, I was just out in the break room, and Jody, who is oftentimes referenced by Ken Strode on The Morning After, said, I watched your interview with Jim Edmonds on Balloon Party, and I said, oh, thank you. She said, that was so great, and I said, oh, thank you. She goes, so funny when Jackson wore the helmet. He's so funny. And I came back in, and I said, well, I got to tell you, Jody's a fan. I said, everybody likes you. I said, who doesn't like you? Today on today's podcast, we're going to figure out who doesn't like Jackson.
Oh, it's a very sweet sentiment from Jody, who's a sweet woman herself, and I very much appreciate it. And that was that last hour of radio we did on Balloon Party. That was like a keystone moment in my life. My dad texted me with nothing but pride and how, well, you know, he said how much he enjoyed it. And I know that meant a lot to him. It was awesome to me. And I very much enjoyed doing that.
So I didn't know. So we get done with the interview with Edmonds, and you said something. We're in the hallway, and it's just me, you, and Edmonds. Edmonds was a guest on Balloon Party today. I'm probably skipping over that, assuming people know that, and in reality, I know that's not the way the world works. So if you want to listen to it, you can go back, podcast at 101 ESPN. But I guess all of our stuff's on the TMA STL app, including this.
Yep.
And that. Look at this.
And look at that.
Thank you. Roof Daddy.
Look at this, look at that.
And wouldn't that be a great shirt, like that call?
Yeah. It's not like they have copyright or anything over it.
What is it? He's going, Roof Daddy? Can you play that on this?
I will put it in post.
Oh, look at that. Look at this, look at that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. Afternoon, Tim. Jackson, you are looking good. That's from Carl Pelker. Now, I feel like that means I'm not looking good. Ooh, one of the reasons is my actual appearance, but the other reason is I'm not on camera.
There you go.
Good afternoon, Tim and Jackson. That's from Rex Anderson. What's up, Rex? Boy, that Carl Pelker, he always leads things off.
He's got notifications on. We appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a smart move. Turn your notifications. I don't think I have notifications on.
I know I don't. I know when we're going live.
I finally went YouTube Premium 2 days ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Done with the ads.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I watch stuff now.
Yeah, no, I get
minus,
it.
I mean, I really don't watch live television unless it's live sports.
What's the other, no ads, and then is there other benefits to YouTube Premium?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a real discerning consumer on these apps that I'm spending.
I'm sure there's some.
Hundreds of dollars on when you include all of my cable with Spectrum, my YouTube TV, Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, YouTube, and probably 4 or 5 other things. It's so stupid because I track my budget and monthly expenses, and I go, well, I'll tell you, the only place we can really cut is television.
Right.
Fuck me. Anyway, so we're in the hallway, and after we did the interview with Edmonds on Balloon Party, and Jackson says, I'd be remiss if I didn't do this, and I'm like, oh, look at this. Jackson's going to ask for a picture. That's what I thought was going to go on.
No.
Why don't you tell the people what happened?
So I told Jim, I said I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you the story. The year is 2004. The date, July 16th. Me, my mom, my dad.
This is a wonderful story, by the
way. Thank you. Me, my mom, my dad, probably heading to some summer vacation spot. We always drove, always a driving family. And we'd always stay over the night. My dad hates driving through the night, and he's the only one that drives.
Yeah.
So we stayed over in Cincinnati for the night. And we're in Cincinnati. I'm 6 years old, so as I've previously
amazing. Yeah, oh.
As I've previously said, the 2006 Cardinal team is what really got me in full time to sports, where I would watch SportsCenter every morning before school and would know everything about it. So before that, I mean, I liked sports. I played basketball, baseball, all the stuff, but I wasn't like watching sports intently. And so my dad that night gives me an offer of, you can come to the Cardinals playing the Reds tonight in Cincinnati, Great American Ballpark, or you can go with your mother to the aquarium. And six-year-old Jackson, priority was much more in the aquarium side. I like the fishes. So I chose to go to the aquarium with my mother. Turns out there was a bomb threat at the aquarium that night.
My goodness.
So we could not go to the aquarium, and it was too late for me to go to the baseball game at that point. And that game that my father went to alone without me because I decided to go to the aquarium was the game that Jim Edmonds pulled off one of the greatest catches of all time, probably his signature catch in his career.
It's either that one, the one in Game 7 of the NLCS robbing Brad Ausmus, 2004, or the one when he was with the Angels running on a dead sprint in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Over his shoulder to dive and catch.
Yeah, if you were to
in
look
my
up,
opinion.
Yeah, if you were to look up like top 10, top 25 catches of all time on YouTube, bunch of different videos, I would bet that Edmonds' catch that night would be somewhere on that list.
Yeah. Oh, no question about that.
And I could have been at that game with my father.
But you wanted to go to the aquarium.
Instead, I wanted to go to the aquarium and I missed out on one of the coolest.
So we don't have a text inbox on this show, but we do have the YouTube chat, and I have a feeling they might have a thought or two on that.
Yeah, I know. I was six
You're
years
peace.
Old.
You're
yeah.
at peace
oh,
with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. It makes for a great
story. This is the 2004
story.
Cardinals, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this
is a great
is
team. Yeah.
The absolutely. Greatest, what many will say. The yep. greatest, many Cardinal fans who have been around at least for the 80s, but those who even saw the 60s would say.
Yep.
That was the greatest team.
Yep, yep.
And well, if they would have had the pitching, holy shit.
Yep, yep. Could have seen that. Instead, chose the aquarium, so couldn't see it. Jim got a big kick out of that. And it was Jason LaRue who hit the ball. So,
right.
You know, a lot of connections there. Yeah, unfortunate, but makes for a great story. And Jim was so awesome. You know, that was really, really cool. I mean, he was one of my favorite players growing up. Still to this day.
Rex Anderson, Jackson, I've been disappointed you in the past. Absolutely have, but never to this extent.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I mean, again, 6 years old, so let's put that context around it. But still, what a miss.
The story behind that, and you heard him tell that, and I remember he had talked about this when we did the show together, that the night before he and Isringhausen were sitting at the bar, hard to believe, and Isringhausen said, how come you never make catches like that when I'm on the mound? And when Edmonds made that catch the next night, he says it was the first pitch of the first batter Isringhausen faced. And that's why he was laughing with that reaction. It wasn't right. because he's like, holy shit, I made the catch. He was laughing at Isringhausen because Isringhausen the night before had told him, you never do that shit for me.
Yeah.
How come you don't do that for me? And then the first pitch, after they had been sitting at the bar, Isringhausen giving him shit, he makes that catch.
Unbelievable.
There's a little more fun fact context for you. You know what? Here, I got to be honest about that. And I think you know me, and I've already given away the tell anyway. There was so much I wanted to get into.
Right.
And just because of the time,
yep.
we didn't get into it.
Yep.
So I didn't really, I went out of my way to not really hype it. I mean, not post it on social media is my brand, but to not even really hype it anywhere else. I didn't even tell Mike Ryder, the executive producer, just kind of, but I'm like, I don't know what he wants to, I know he wanted to promote this company that he bought and I knew we would do that. And then I just didn't know how much we would get into. And so I didn't want to build it up for the audience. The great stuff was the Hall of Fame stuff.
Yeah, that was really good.
That is like, that's major recommended listening from about, well, it doesn't matter because now the time is different, but if you go back and podcast it, I mean, I guess I can. He'd be happy to lose the bet. I would bet him all day long he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. It's not even a sweat to me.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't think he's going to. And I can tell he really doesn't think so. And I can tell he's irritated by the voting process. But, he doesn't think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And in my mind, I'm like, there's not a – and it's not about you are a Hall of Fame, you're not. I'm confident what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is the Veterans Committee.
Yep.
And his whole thing is like, why does that even need to happen? And it's stupid that guys are limited to 10 people they can put on the – and then when he says that, I got to say, I kind of agree, because what happens if you do have a year where you have a ridiculous amount of great players and you have, as is often the case, some guys who are coming off the ballot, and so they get a big show of support in their final year on the ballot. The process is a little strange. And then he's also making the observation that it isn't players.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't like he's like, hey, it's a bunch of guys who couldn't play. It was, if you're a writer, you aren't able to, if you covered the Cardinals, but especially if you're on the East Coast, you're not watching the Angels and Dodgers playing.
Right.
So how do you, unless you see them So
it's so it's such an antiquated system of voting. Yeah, and it's often talked. I feel like every year that the Hall of Fame voting goes in, there's three or four think piece articles about the voting process. I feel like, you know,
I found myself this year just like, I already know. I'm like in a way, I was kind of like turned off all the excitement about it because I'm just like, I just doesn't, for whatever reason. Like, I don't know exactly. I mean, it's obviously something that is available. But, like, when Roland was first on the ballot, it was super low.
Yeah.
And then, like, within a handful of years, then he's a Hall of Famer. I'm just like, this is kind of dumb. I mean, you didn't, like, play another game, and all of a sudden he's a Hall of Famer. And then there's going to be a guy, and it'll be great when it happens, who couldn't be on the ballot for more than a year, but is going to wind up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yep. So it just, you sit there and go, this is kind of a... I don't know.
And there's so many players who should be in who aren't in for a number of reasons, as Jim alluded to during Balloon Party today. Yeah, it's a messed up system.
The Pope is in there. He is his attorneys are handling the protest from last year's J. Randolph Jr. Fan Page Club Championship. Hey, Pope, have you accepted my challenge, by the way, for the rematch?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, what's going on?
You scared?
You scared?
We both know you can't do that again. We both know that. The Pope says, I agree with Jim. The voting is ridiculous and needs way more research done by most voters. I don't know. I honestly don't know what the process is. If I had a vote, I would say no, thank you. Cause I just know I wouldn't know. And it's too important for someone to, I feel like every motherfucker has a Heisman vote.
For real.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. And I don't know what the thing is for the Hall of Fame. I have no idea. And I'm not saying people are wrong to be in there at all. I'm just like, I wouldn't do it justice.
Yeah. I heard you saying
that. Let's see. Man up, Pope, Carl Pelker. And he's in. He is in for the rematch. The first round has been determined. Wow.
That's great.
How about that? All right, let me see. What do you want to do today? All right. It's a Friday. We started late. The great Randy Character was hosting a sound story in this studio. And so we are starting later today. My son has some hockey going on. I got to pick him up from school and then go to this thing. So I got a hard out of about 2:15.
Okay.
I'm planning on being out of here soon, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, now it goes.
Yeah, you know, but I do have an out then. So with that said, I think we go erotic storying.
Hey, listen, baby.
I mean, it's a Friday. Maybe that's the Friday tradition.
It could be.
And I got the one with the pictures, and I've intentionally not read it. It's lengthy. Mm.
Hellcats, I like this. He says it's Freaky Friday.
All right, Freaky Friday on QFTA. All right, now I'm going to open up the one picture with the, all right, Jackson, so you can see the people. I don't think I can do this for the YouTube people. I think that would be a breach. But Jackson now can see, and then you got this, and then there's that. Okay, all right. And I don't know what's going to happen. I have intentionally not read this until this moment. The title of it is Analingus and the Summer of Threesomes. Two stories, also don't use my name.
Understood.
Oh, hey there, gentlemen. Hope you're having a wonderful day. I have two stories for you, so I'll dive right in. In 2001, I had been dating my girlfriend for a little over a year, and she was one of the horniest women I have ever met. Whenever we could, we were banging. She also read a lot of Cosmopolitan at her desk at work, but not just Cosmo in general, but more specifically the sex-related articles. I don't know if you have ever read any of those, but holy shit, most of them put Penthouse Forum to shame with how graphic they were. I've never read them. Have you ever read any Cosmopolitan, Jack?
No, magazines are kind of like, that's a blind spot for me.
Yeah. Which was awesome because it led to some amazing sex. One night, she started going down on me, which wasn't anything new, but no less amazing, and she's really getting into it, as she always did. She would always try to make me finish before we even started fucking as some kind of a game, and in the beginning, she did. A lot. I finally started learning how to hold back, so it became more of a challenge for her. So, like I was saying, she was really getting into it and working every angle and in part, the head, the shaft, the balls. Then all of a sudden, she starts going a little lower and working the taint. Jackson, this is where we get into a spot where it's good that I've never read them, but then I don't know where I'm going here.
I'm working.
Oh, I should, because it was titled Analingus and the Summer of Threesomes. I was more focused on the Summer of Threesomes. I know where we're now going.
Work in the Taint is already a strong candidate for title.
I lose focus and it's driving me wild. She notices my reaction, continues to go crazy down there. Then all of a sudden she hits pay dirt, teehee, and I about lose it. She notices my reaction again, then comes back topside for the grand finale, and holy smokes, it was a doozy. After a few minutes, when I could speak, I asked what made her do that, not that I cared one bit, and her reply, I read about it in Cosmo. Also, just for the record, I was fully shaved, even the beehole, and I had just gotten out of the shower.
Okay.
We're not done with this email, but is that something guys do? And I'm asking, and I'm saying, because again, you know, we don't kink shame.
Never have.
Or shave shame. I didn't know that. I knew producer Joe carved a landing strip. That's yeah. About as much as I...
And a real pioneer in that department.
I agree. I was very proud of it.
So are you asking if gentlemen often shave their back portal?
I would think that that's a high-risk play.
Yeah, but...
Well, much less is it common.
I don't know on that. I imagine it happens. You know, swimmers, aerodynamic stuff. But I don't think it probably happens too often. And you're not wrong. It's a high risk. But nowadays, they got the Manscaped stuff. It's, you know, it's a little safer.
Okay.
But if you're going, like, straight clippers that you used to use, you know, that
I just can't. I can't imagine.
Yeah, and plus, you're doing it yourself. You know, that's a
I mean,
a
I can't imagine.
I can't
imagine.
It would be much easier if someone could do it for you.
Wow, what a relationship it would be.
Yeah, well.
So when that pops up in a video, I'm now, oh, this is in reference to me not liking when, like, all of a sudden the guy's legs are up in the air. And it happened again last night. Oh, God, and one of my favorites, I saw it too. She's not in the LRE, so I really am worried she's done. I really am. Mm. Abigail Mack, and who's my third? Fuck.
Oh, I can't remember. Can't remember. Why can't I remember?
I mean, maybe we were talking about Diora, but yeah. I mean, we don't. She's not really a
no,
and she's no not going to be on the program.
No,
I don't know. My third would be. I mean, Chasey Lane back in the day, but Blake Blossom is not. But she's upper tier.
Okay.
You know, she's St. Louis Country Club.
Got
you know,
it.
She might be
got
Log Cabin. And I'm like, oh no, and then I'm like, oh, there it is. I'm out. I mean, there she's a beautiful woman. And the next thing I know,
legs up in the air.
And there she is.
Yeah, going to work.
So when that pops up in a video, I'm not bothered by it. Do I go looking for it? No. But if it's there, it's whatever. I don't look at them any differently. Am I kink shaming? I know that not Colorado.
I think you might. I think you might be. Well, you're not saying that people shouldn't do it.
Hey, to each their own.
Right. Well, then you're all right.
Yeah.
Then you're all right. It's just not for you.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
Okay.
But it's... But then, in fairness, now I'm not looking for lesbian analingus, but if all of a sudden there's Abigail Mack and that's what she's decided upon which to dine, I don't bail.
Right. You're less perturbed.
I'm fine with it. It's what's going to happen.
Yeah, sure.
But if all of a sudden hairy legs and hairy holes are exposed, I am out.
Yeah, that's a double standard. I don't think it's kink shaming.
Okay. All right.
But again, it might just be preference, too.
I have zero interest in seeing it. And then but here's the thing.
Sure.
I then look at the girl differently.
Now you might be kink shaming. Now you might be kink shaming.
I mean, there's a part of me that deep down knows Ella Reese is eating a gentleman's ass.
It's safe, fair to assume.
I just hope that it never appears on my screen.
Yeah, that's all right.
Because then I don't know if we'll have the same kind of relationship we have right now.
Understandable.
Thank you. Summer of 2003. I was living in Chicago in between semesters, working at a bar right by my apartment, right in the heart of Wrigleyville. Two of my friends stayed in town, one from Cincinnati, the other from Columbus. And we all worked at the same bar and hung out on our off days. Cincy and Columbus were best friends from their freshman year and still are to this day. Both were maid of honor at their weddings, even though they live in separate cities now. One night, we were all off work and decided to just chill at Cincy's apartment, having a few cocktails, listening to music with the TV on in the background. I think it was a Cubs away game, with the sound down. Columbus and Cincy were sitting on the couch, and I was on an accent chair next to Cincy. What does that mean?
Not
like
positive.
A Davenport?
Yeah, probably akin to a chaise lounge.
When the game ended, I jokingly put on Skinamax, and it took them a bit to notice, but finally Columbus noticed and said, shaking her head, "Really?" I laughed and changed the channel, saying something along the lines of them not liking high-quality cinema. I guess as a result, we started making fun of softcore porns and how they go down on each other. It looks more like they're headbanging than doing the actual act. And then the bombshell is dropped. Columbus starts talking about how she's not very good at it, and her boyfriend, now her husband, mentions that he would like her to do it more. She then asks if Cincy and I could teach her how. Cincy looks at me, and I freak out and stupidly ask if she has any popsicles, not even thinking that both of them would want to do anything to me. Cincy shakes her head in disappointment, laughingly says, "No, why the fuck would I?" I then shake my head, acknowledging it was a ridiculous question. With no popsicles, I start mentioning what works on me, not mentioning any notion of analingus. Why, it pops up again, just out of nowhere. But a lovely symphony of hands and mouth. But before I finish explaining, Cincy, she is hand-free. I have to tell you, that tickled my fancy. Hands-free? Cincy suggests that we demonstrate for Columbus, and I freeze up, still not sure if it's real, and I say, nah. So they drop it, and I sit there thinking about it for a few minutes when Cincy asks, "Why are you so quiet?" I ask her if she's seriously cool about, quote, demonstrating for Columbus. She simply nods and says, "Yep, fuck it, let's do this." But before demonstrating, I said I need to at least hop in the shower to freshen up a bit. Since he shows me the shower and turns it on, as I undress, she mentions they'll be in her bedroom, which is connected to the bathroom, and just to go in afterwards. I'm down to my boxers, and as she turns to leave, I grab her arm and I pull her towards me and we start to kiss. Now, a bit of a backstory. I was dating someone at that time, but since he was not. When we first met, I was single, but she was dating her now husband, who had just moved back to his hometown. After hanging out a bunch, I started to have a thing for her, but I knew nothing was going to happen, so when I was home over Christmas break, I happened to start dating someone. Then I get back to Chicago, and since he tells me she broke up with her boyfriend. Man on man, just bad timing. Jackson, I need to reread that. Again, another risk of not reading these.
I think I can pick up on.
What's going on? Then I get back to
Chicago.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but that tough syntax error there.
Then I get back to Chicago, and since he tells me she broke up with her boyfriend, man on man, just bad timing. You think it's man on man?
Just based on just bad timing, it would be weird to say man on man before that. But again, you know, who knows?
And we don't kink shame.
Never have.
So because I was dating someone, that led me to be a little apprehensive when the demonstration was initially brought up. Back to the story. We both kiss each other like we have been wanting to for a while. We stop just enough for me to say that I have been wanting to do that since we met. And then I pull her right up against me. By this time, she has my full attention. She moans, then starts to get handsy and takes my body. I gotta interrupt.
You know, Tim, we had one time Hubbard Marty come in here and say it makes him a little uncomfortable when we read these rock stories and break them down.
Right.
I'm just imagining him trying to listen to this.
I'm going to peek at what the YouTube chat's doing. It's active. A lot of people are high on your Mike Gesicki of the Dolphins.
Nice.
Who is he with now?
Very
He's
gritty.
In there and he says you look great.
Thank you. Yeah. Freshly shorn.
My dad has spent more time at Gettysburg than the soldiers did.
Oh, drive-by take.
I don't know what's going on in the YouTube chat.
We appreciate it nonetheless.
Let's see what we got. Back to the story. What stopped me was, boy, it's like a Dan Marshall email. It's tough to find once you stop here. the moaning part. She moans, then starts to get handsy and takes my boxers off and starts with a nice little old-fashioned, so I return the favor, a little finger play. We continue for another minute, and I say, let me jump in the shower real quick so we can do this properly. I hop in and clean myself as quickly as possible.
I thought he already showered.
No, he was getting in the shower. He was in his boxers.
Oh,
then
okay.
He kissed her.
Got
they
it.
Start kissing. She's moaning.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
Listen, I, is it possible? It is. I got to tell you, maybe it speaks to my abilities. But I don't believe I've ever just started making out with a girl and she begins moaning. But hey, that could be me. When I've told my stories, it's usually a guy with it beaten off at the end of my bed or putting his hand on my ass.
Yep.
So maybe that speaks more to me.
Did you moan when he put his hand on the small of your back?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's not the same as a moan.
I'm in such a great place. I am confident about what's going to happen, and now all of a sudden this gentleman's hand's on my ass.
Yeah. That's
like I'm his date at the that's ball right. Leading me through the palms.
You're a little prince.
Fuck. Anyway, this guy's got game because he starts kissing, she starts moaning. I think it took me less than 5 minutes, and then I dry off and wrap the towel around me and walk into the bedroom. In that short amount of time, Columbus and Cincy had gotten in bed and stripped down to their panties, where they kissed and gently rubbed each other. Jackson, now I really like this email.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I stood a couple feet from the bed, not sure how to join them. Didn't have to wait long because Columbus snipes, quote, for wanting to use popsicles, you sure showered fast. I just grinned and shrugged my shoulders. And that's when Cincy grabbed my hand and pulled me on the bed with my towel being ripped off by one of them in the process. I lay on my back still at attention, and Cincy starts to explain what to do if they're not hard. But in this case, I was so hard. So she starts showing Columbus how to do it hands-free. That's great, by the way. Cincy demonstrated different speeds and depths for a few minutes and then stops and says to Columbus for her to try. Columbus then starts, and I tell you what, I was bamboozled because she knew what she was doing. What a sentence.
Nice.
Cincy looked at me and asked if she was doing a good job. Different verbiage was used, but this isn't a smut bag. Of course, I just read about you getting your ass eaten.
Yeah, sure. Seems like it. I'm going to be honest with you. Doesn't seem like you've really been blurring out.
All of a sudden, it's been filtered.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a vivid image of you shaving your asshole about 10 minutes ago.
Unfortunately, feel like I'm there.
And I, of course, said yes. With that being established, Cincy and I started making out. From there, I started manually stimulating her, which then led to her straddling my face. Then all of a sudden, I feel a different sensation down below. Sure enough, Columbus had hopped on board.
Wow.
Wow.
That's great.
Things have taken a turn.
They have. That led to various other positions, some with them going down on one another while I was behind. Boy, that's why we clock in early and leave late, Jackson.
I would think that would
that's
be.
It. That's it. There's the summit. There she is. I lasted longer than I thought because I kept taking a break and going down on one or the other. After it was all over and we cleaned up, we just listened to music and hung out in bed just joking around and reliving the entire act. It wasn't awkward at all, which was another thing I was worried about, but it was cool. The rest of that summer, we did it about 8 more times as a threesome, but Columbus, randomly not the one I had a thing for, and I did it a bunch on our own. That started one weekend when Cincy was out of town. I'm pretty sure she knew about Columbus and I, but she never brought it up. We are still friends this day, and I was invited to both of their weddings. Fun fact, Columbus was also the first one I had anal with, but that's for another time. I have attached pictures as a visual aid. Also, real names of the threesome, please don't use them. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, I assume they're not Columbus and Cincinnati. I'm just operating on that premise.
I thought Columbus might have been her name.
Okay. Image 2... is analing? I don't want to get. I don't know if this is like for the podcast. Is analingus, and then okay, and then Columbus and Cincinnati are included. Also pictured on the okay. All right, fair enough. All right, Jackson's thoughts, concerns.
Well, Tim, so much to unpack there.
God.
It seems like this gentleman lived out many people's fantasy. In the Windy City, summer in Chicago. What a lovely time to be there. You got all this going on. I imagine that's the peak of existence. All I can say really is congratulations.
Which anecdote do you enjoy more?
The latter.
Okay.
The latter. The first one, while I appreciate...
Because we don't kink shame.
Never have. I appreciate it. But, you know, a lot of visuals there that I didn't think I needed.
I actually have a follow-up on the first one, truly, like shaving your asshole.
Well, if he didn't expect it coming, the Ingus, right. Why was he shaving below?
Which is why I posed the query, is that something that gentlemen do? And I don't know. I mean,
that's something I do.
Okay.
That's something I do personally.
But is it something that, like, is commonplace? And maybe I'm just in the dark.
Not to my knowledge. Okay. Not to my knowledge. I mean, I could see shaving the taint. You know, I could see that. But once you're starting the hole and the area around it.
I mean, it's just number one, if we're calculating upside and downside, I don't know where our upside is on this. But I don't want to kink shame.
I guess this is the upside.
On the off chance, you get your ass eaten surprisingly.
What other reason would there
That's
be?
That's what I'm saying. So if we're running, if we're building out,
right?
I just don't. But hey, again, don't want to kink shame. But the downside strikes me as infinite. That if you have a razor back there,
dangerous. Again, you don't have much mobility. You know, it's not like you're probably. And I don't want to demonstrate here, but you're probably propped up in some way. And I would want a mirror. You know, I wouldn't want to go down there flying blind. You know, and if you have a co-pilot, I feel like this could just get circumvented.
Like a buddy.
You know, people are close.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes things have to be done.
Hey, boy, today's the day I usually shave my asshole. Can you help?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I haven't shaved a buddy's back once or twice.
Lot different. So that's my first question. That's on section one. Section two sounds wonderful. And candidly, that was kind of like my peak time. That area.
Sure.
And God, what I wouldn't do. I mean, it's the summer of 2003. And like to have a regular MFF. Holy shit.
You'd be walking around like you're a 6'6".
Oh my God, I'm telling you. And so with that, I doff my cap is what I do. I do doff my cap. I really do.
What
I mean,
else
you're
can
in
you
Chicago.
Do?
You're living in Wrigleyville. Looks like, I don't know, in their 20s, obviously.
Yeah.
The story would be a little different if they're like in their 60s. We're not age shaming either, but that just would, you know.
But we are looking for Iraq stories from the villages.
We are. We would love to get something from Central Florida.
Yeah, we'll diversify up these Iraq stories. I feel so many of these are in the past. You know, how about some present with...
Oh, that'd be great.
Septuagenarians.
God. But that just, it sounds so wonderful. I mean, the health, you know, of just like going, yeah, we're just fucking, it's a threesome, we'll just do this whenever. And then we're just going to fuck. She's out of town. There's no feelings.
Yeah. It seems like everything was very
good. Everything's wonderful.
They seem, God, all three of them.
That makes it even better.
Seem very, at the time, sexually mature, kind of what you've alluded to before about, you know, separating love. Sex.
Absolutely. That's my campaign's platform.
It's first up. So it seems like everyone was very mature. So it seems like an ideal situation for that gentleman. And I don't have a cap to doff, but if I did, I'd be
doffing?
Profusely doffing.
Yeah. Now you're adding a T to doff. Isn't it doff?
Is it spelled with a T and that the T is silent?
Really?
I think.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
Doff.
When I ever heard doff, I think of D-O-F-T.
I think of D-O-F-F.
Okay.
D-O-F-F.
Okay. Then I'm sorry.
No,
yeah.
I mean,
doffing.
That's a heartfelt apology. Yeah, I don't see any.
All right. Well, okay. I'm doffing.
All right. Doffing. Yeah, I am too. And I'm honestly jealous because there's like some picture in Chicago and Wrigleyville.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
Yeah. And then you just have, like, you're going out, you're drinking, you know, we're going to go home and I know it's going to, God.
Did I hear between semesters, so they're in college?
Oh, I guess you're right. I missed that part, but I think that was referenced.
Yeah, so I guess that's the definition of living your best life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's cool that they stayed friends.
I'm so jealous. Yeah. stayed went to the weddings.
Yeah, that is like if you're a person who can separate sex and love, that is probably the most ideal situation you could ever have.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Good for you. So we're saluting you. Jackson, you're doffing a cap? Faux cap.
Sure.
But I just have one follow-up, and it's, number one, do gentlemen shave their assholes a lot?
Mm-hmm.
And number two, if not, why were you? Like, as a college guy.
Right, right. And I think it's a fair question.
That is a fair question.
Unless, you know, the Ingus was... And because he said his girlfriend was very, she said, horny, often reading Cosmopolitan. Maybe he, you know, saw the writing on the wall and thought that, you know, this could be in play, so I'm going to take care of it beforehand. And if that's the case, then, you know, this guy is sharp, makes sharp reads. I have some questions.
I suppose, but even if that's the case, still to... I mean, I'm picturing, like, you know, obviously I don't shave. I clipper my hair and my beard. That's what I do, which is, I know people are really wondering about. And so I have clippers for my shaving. But back in the day, I would shave with, like, a
Bic.
Bic, Gillette, whatever.
You don't Bic your head?
It's clippers. Same thing I use on my beard. Now, there's different guards, like right. When I used to
have. So you go no guard on the,
correct.
On the skull.
Exactly. And I usually shave it every single day. It's a whole thing. Little shrubs. As far as the eye can see.
Brief aside, I'm sorry, because I go through the same thing, because I like to look in the mirror when I shave. Do you put, like, a paper towel down in the sink?
It's right in the sink.
Yeah. Oh, so you just go hair into the sink and then wash it out?
That's right.
Okay.
The hairs aren't long.
Sure,
the longest hairs are...
Yeah, down there.
Beard.
Yeah.
I occasionally trim this, and I'll trim these sides. Point being, my grooming habits notwithstanding,
sure.
Which is why people tune in. I know they do.
Yeah, you just a little peek behind the curtain.
To take a Bic or a Gillette razor to a gentleman's hole. Sweet mother of mercy.
Yeah.
But maybe I have been missing this throughout my life.
You know.
It was just mentioned so casually.
Iggy has said that he is bald as a porpoise.
Right.
Down below his chin. I wonder if he's very serious about that everywhere. I would be surprised, but if he's claiming that he's a porpoise.
So you want to ask about Iggy's hole?
Well, I feel like Iggy, based on his past, whether it be from many of the island countries in which he resided,
sure,
in, both
absolutely.
For vacation and for work.
Right.
Obviously Jamaica more so because of the situation of the people down there. If that was common with people down there.
Shaving holes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be curious. So Monday we can have a little session with him.
Yeah, to talk about his hole.
Yeah, with his and, you know, others.
Thank you for sharing the story. Again, we're, of course, not kink-shaming. It'd be the last thing we would ever do. But I just have a follow-up on this butthole shaving.
Yeah, it's a fair question. It's got to be.
Like, I thought it was a big deal that Prod Joe carved a landing strip. Mm. I mean, I brought that up on, I think it was the Morning Grind. I said, can you imagine if a guy were to carve a landing strip, like, so that means, you know, you're using, like, the Bic. Again, I'm operating on the Bic premise here. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe I'm wrong. So that means you're outside the shower, you've lathered up your shrubs, mm-hmm. and now you're like, I know it would look good if I carved a little landing strip above my cock. I'm single, I'm in my 20s, and if there's one thing a woman wants... it's a guy who has a landing strip.
Yeah, decorative pubes.
and I'm essentially asking this, and I'm asking in St. Louis on AM radio, and I'm not thinking, like, I'm going to get anybody who responds yes, and then sure enough, in the room next door, in the control room, a guy goes, oh, I have a landing strip.
And what was your reaction at the moment?
I assumed he was fucking with me. But Joe has this, you know, look of, he's earnest.
Yeah.
And he was adamant about it. And I can recall we were at a bar that I don't believe is, I can't imagine it's around, it's a good long while ago, in the Grove. And he then took two women into the bathroom who were familiar with this conversation to prove, I didn't care to see it,
okay,
to prove that indeed, and they came back and they verified that, they confirmed, indeed, he does have a landing strip.
Wow.
Wow. Wonder if he does now. How random would that text be for me to send right now? Hey, you still got a landing strip, bro?
I mean, all I can answer is yes or no, or I don't care to answer.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he's evolved into some other decorative piece.
Oh, man. Jake Reynolds says, can I book a sound story with Jackson so him and I can nerd out? I got no one to nerd out with.
Yeah.
Sure.
Of course. We can talk about whatever.
Cucky the Dwarf says, I definitely had a landing strip. Not sure why I thought that was a good idea now that I reminisce on my shrub sitch. Huh.
I've talked before, early 2000s wardrobes. Weird. Maybe this was a thing. But you would
Joe's
know.
Thing was like 2006, 7, 8-ish.
Okay. Yeah, that'd
somewhere
be
in that range. Or it might still be 2024 for all I know.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe that was just a thing. Ed Hardy.
What do you think is more common? A gentleman carving a landing strip,
mm-hmm,
or a gentleman shaving with a Bic?
Landing strip.
The landing, wouldn't it be? Okay, 100%. Yeah.
So even if it's by accident.
So the fact that in the telling of this erotic story, he had mentioned that he had been shaving his asshole, and it was just kind of like, you know, of course.
Right.
And I'm going,
like, we were concerned that he hadn't.
Well, I mean, or that it was obvious that he had. I'm just going, I didn't know anybody ever has.
Right.
My understanding for the smoothness of women who, now some just don't have a lot of hair.
Sure.
My personal preference. But if you are in a spot where you may be growing hair in unwanted places, that you get waxed.
Mm-hmm.
Or lasered. Exactly.
Yeah, lasered.
And so now it's neither here nor there. Because that'd be a thing. I can't remember who is. It's somebody on the show was telling a story of their, like, engaging in nipple play. And the woman they were with had a plowhawk nipple.
Oh, no. God. Tough.
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 Tough. And what do you do in that spot? I mean, I don't know what I do. Like, you know, I'd be like, I think I'd stop and I go, God, I hope that's for me. But then it would hit me that it can't be for me.
Right, yeah.
And then I might, with my teeth, do a little that to
yank it out.
See if I, well, floss. No, to see like if there's a chance that it's just like a rogue shrub from a
okay, so just see,
small farm animal or something.
Wombat. Like, well, yeah, just a loose hair, but no, if it is connected.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Body hair in general, you know, it can be tough.
God, yeah. So I don't know. I don't remember who told the story, but I remember hearing that story, and I remember going, bah. Not anybody's fault, but I think people are very conscious of that. But I didn't know guys were, and I guess, hey, you know what? If you want to keep it all, then get it waxed or lasered. If you're a gentleman, I mean, God, can you imagine going in and saying, I'm here to have my asshole lasered?
I mean, I guess, you know, no judgment.
No kink shame. Exactly. But this guy's got a Bic back there.
Probably. Maybe he had some sort of, and again, I'm not ruling out that there was a second party involved, because that would make things a lot, I mean, the downside goes down precipitously if you have a partner.
Cucky the Dwarf says, shaving your chode is tough. Bristly shrubs will surprise you. Yeah, I mean, I really want to get this guy on a Zoom right now. And say, I just want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. And it's really unfortunate because we just got a wonderful story that's romanticizing the summer of 2003 for me.
Yeah.
I can pick the weather. Oh, it's 77 degrees, no humidity.
A little breeze
on an evening,
off.
And you got the windows open in Wrigleyville, and we're just having, you know,
group
a threesome.
Sex.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And yet, it's like a trick, but I can't get past him shaving his asshole with a Bic. This should be a great day. Yeah. This should be a great day.
Yeah, he could have just left all of that out, like even the first story, and then this might have been the best erotic story ever. But instead, he chose to mention that he shaves his ass.
Let's see. Cucky the Dwarf says, I had frosted tips. I wore Gap cargo B vests. What a weird time. God to be young again, Cucky the Dwarf. I think he's making reference to the fashion trends that you were uncomfortable.
It's just odd. I find all of it.
From the early 2000s, is that what it was?
Yeah, like
I look at the late 90s, early 2000s, and there's a lot of like bleaching, anal, although that might have been going on, but guys bleaching their hair and like super baggy clothes, I guess.
But some clothes strangely tight, but dazzling a lot of things, like Ed Hardy was popular. Weird shaped hats.
I don't know if Ed Hardy ever was popular everywhere.
Okay. That's fair. I remember it being
certain
on
certain areas of our area, and it strikes me. Yeah, I mean, it was a brief thing in, I mean, maybe like, I don't know if it ever was popular in New York. Might have been in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But in like L.A., perhaps. But in our area, you know, I don't think like in Ledoux.
Can't imagine.
You know, I mean, the style in Ledoux has kind of been the same.
Yeah, it hasn't really changed too much, except as we've discussed before, bright colors. My reference point for all of this is like Entourage season one. That's a show that was very tapped into the times. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they were off in a lot of their renditions of things. And so like the clothes that those guys, you know, Vincent Chase, who was Adrian Grenier at the time, an attractive gentleman, there's no doubt. But some of the clothes that these guys would wear, I was like, you just look ridiculous. Like jeans with like.
But you weren't watching
flip-flops.
It in the moment.
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
Yeah. I mean, well, I can't say that I thought anything of it at the time. I don't think I was
right.
wearing it per se, but I don't think it stood out. But I look back on it and I kind of go, I don't know who it was. I saw something within the last like 72 hours where somebody was saying, people in their teens and 20s with the, maybe Doug was the one saying it, not that Doug's necessarily would call himself a fashion icon.
No.
But they're going to look back on like the prom pictures and of the, you know, Pee Wee Herman roles and so on and go, God, what in the hell were we thinking?
Sure.
And I could see that.
Yeah.
But I certainly would say that about the early 2000s too.
I look back at like 2014, 15.
What was going on in 2014, 2015?
A lot of jeans with zippers everywhere.
Really? Is that right?
Robin jeans. They were made popular by the great Fetty Wap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Robin jeans. Weirdly long T-shirts that had cuts in them. Patches. I remember like shirts with patches, a lot of patches. Odd times. Now,
so
some
like
of that
16,
stuff has stuck
17.
Around,
yeah.
You know, still to this day. But like there is some... There's some moments of like when I see like celebrity photos from 2015, I'm like, ooh, I remember that era.
Yeah.
Odd.
Yeah.
Odd.
Well, is there any era that you look back on and go, that was the great fashion? I mean, isn't that kind
early
of...
Early 90s. I mean, that stuff
90s.
Is super popular now.
Grunge?
More so like starter jackets, you know, Air Jordans and the type of shoes in the 90s are still super popular today. Like vintage T-shirts from the 90s are really, really, really popular now.
Yeah, I see. I feel like I see a lot of, I don't know when I'm around high schoolers, but
right.
Anytime I am, and as you might imagine, it's not often, somebody's wearing a Nirvana shirt.
Yeah, Nirvana. Yeah, definitely. Just a lot of like, I feel like the 90s are very popular.
I went,
still.
And so I guess like our dance at St. Louis U High, might have been our prom, I don't know, was called Stairway to Heaven.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, and then I do the math on, so that's 94. And so I guess the math is about, but actually, no, it's Nirvana to now. That's a 30-year gap.
Yeah. Well, when did?
Stairway, you're talking
four?
About 70s. So
yeah, early
it's 20-year gap.
Yeah.
That's kind of
yeah.
surprising.
Yeah.
I guess we should have been doing like something from the mid 60s. I don't know. That's interesting that that's the way that it was. I just kind of figured that was like influenced by older, like kids who had older brothers.
Yeah.
That's
totally.
What I kind of think that that's
totally.
The deal.
And while, I mean, Stairway to Heaven came out, I think that was four, which is my favorite Zeppelin album. They were popular in the late 60s too. So,
yeah,
that 30-year thing can still be part of it.
Yeah, I see their Nirvana shirts everywhere. Cucky the Dwarf is in there and says, don't you have to wax the pleasure ring instead of going old school barber route with a straight razor? Yikes. That's exactly what I'm saying, Cucky the Dwarf. That's my whole premise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I maybe he was waxing. Did he say shave? Or did he say
I've already deleted the email. On the off chance, I would mistakenly read it again. Like, have we covered this one? And now it's deleted, and then it's going to go because it was sent like 10 days ago.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's deep in there. All right.
Well, no, I can't see if I can get it. Let's see if
Because if you said shaved, then yes, there would
yeah, that was
no
that was
waxing.
That and that stopped me in my tracks. Here it is: analingus and the summer of threesomes. Finally, I started learning how to hold back, so it became more of a challenge. Then all of a sudden, she starts going a little lower and working the taint. I lose focus, and it's driving me wild. She notices my reaction, continues to go crazy down there. Then all of a sudden, she hits pay dirt, tee-hee, and about lose it. She notices my reaction again, then comes back topside for the grand finale, and holy smokes. Did I miss the part about the shaving? Oh, also, just for the record, I was fully shaved,
yeah, okay.
Even the b-hole, and I had just gotten out of the shower.
This guy takes a lot of showers.
There are a lot of showers in this email.
So many shower references. Well, it's good.
It's fully shaved. I mean, how else can I interpret that?
No, yeah, that's so. And oh, 03, my. There's no way they had, you know, the Manscaped stuff didn't come out till years later. So at best, you're using an electric razor. At best. And even that's high risk. No guard, I assume.
God.
Yeah. So at best, you had a clipper, probably a Bic, and that's dangerous.
Well, to the gentleman who sent the email in, we're going to request a follow-up specifically on that. It's a shame, though, because the second story was so wonderful, and yet my focal point is on this guy's asshole.
Can't help yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like a responsibility to the audience here on QFTA. Jackson, another active one in the YouTube chat. That's good to see more and more people becoming friends of the feather on the daily QFTAs. You will not be here for next week's Freaky Friday.
Nope.
On the Tim McKernan Show podcast. You'll be in Scottsdale, and you will be with Oatmeal and Herb and Private Citizen Pete.
Oh, for three. No, none of
Gareth.
Them will be there. Nope. Sweet Sweet Kai.
Sweet Sweet Kai will be there.
Yeah, I haven't seen Sweet
From
Sweet Kai.
Manchester to Phoenix flight.
I don't know when the last time I would have seen him. Months and months. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him on a ton of my other friends. It's going to be really fun. My first bachelor party.
Yeah, right.
First bachelor.
Who's getting married?
My buddy Khan.
Khan?
Yeah.
K-H-N?
Connor.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, okay. My buddy Khan. He's getting married. I love his fiance. She's lovely. And
where are they getting married?
St. Louis.
Okay.
Yeah. They do not currently live here, but...
They think they're better than...
She's in medical school, so...
We have wonderful hospitals.
I know. That's what I said. But she went to undergrad here, so I think that they were looking to get out. And I don't blame them. I bet they'll be back one day. But I'm looking forward to it. Get to play golf for the first time in months.
You're trending.
This time next week, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, Friday next week.
God bless you. Yeah. God bless you. Look at you.
Champions course.
All right, so I don't know who will be on QFTA next week. I told Plowhawk, I said, you're going to be uncomfortable with me in QFTA mode.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But when QFTA originally started, was it not Iggy and Plowhawk?
It was. It was just one time just to, like, get them
got it.
Some questions. And then I'm like, that was good. And then I learned, because I would set up the interviews that we had recorded, I had never just talked without co-hosts ever in my career, and usually more than one. And so I didn't know that I could do that. And then the next thing I know, I'm just talking and talking and talking, and it's like 12 minutes, and I still have an intro of the interview. And I'm like, what is this about? So then I really like QFTA. People liked QFTA, and we were doing it once a week. So, that was the original QFTA. It was with the Plowhawk and with Iggy. So, maybe they'll join it, but they don't want to be here. I mean, I understand, you know, they don't want to stay late. So, but maybe for those 2 days, one of them will.
Maybe
that's what Producer Joe can be on.
Then you can ask about the landing strip.
But since still somebody needs to run the board.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No matter what, you need someone who can operate this year. And
They're
on our program.
Can ask about the landing strip.
You are limited to.
Oh, somebody said KG. Yeah, KG could fill in.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as he has a free afternoon.
That. Yeah. I mean, think about that. Carl Pelka says he'd love to hear the Plowboy on here. Yeah. Plowhawk maybe can be on.
Made an appearance last week following the Matt Carpenter signing.
That's right. Yeah. It's a week ago today.
What a week it's been.
All right, Jackson, there it is. We're shutting it down at 1:30. It's pretty good.
Can't complain here.
Yeah, it's kind of a surprise, but we stuck to it. I feel like there's been some great questions in the YouTube chat. And I'm like, if I start going there, God only knows.
Yeah, well, the good thing is, Tim, we'll be back here Monday.
That's right. Thank you to Jackson Burkett. Thank you to our Sponsors, Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. Thank you to Design Air Heating and Cooling of designairservice.com, the great Seth Goldkamp. Thank you to Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies, online at evergreenstl.com. And thank you to James Carlton of the Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency, online at carltoninsurance.net. And Longo Biggs, online at longobiggs.com, LONGOBIGGS.com. That's Longo Biggs, studio sponsor on The Tim McKernan Show.